Tonight, but I'm going to just take this around and show. I only got one of them, and I'm going to show everybody. If you guys could just pass that around and then kind of get it through by the end of the service, hopefully everybody sees it. What that is it's a picture of a lamb being roasted on a fire, like Jewish custom. And I don't know if anybody's ever seen that before, but it's pretty interesting. And we should get to that portion today, but we'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into the lesson. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and we pray, Lord, that we would just be prepared to hear them this morning, and that we would just love you more, Lord, and we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, so last week we basically got through Matthew 25. I hurried up and rushed through it at the end, but we really never read verses 41 through 46, and so we'll go ahead and do so before we start Matthew chapter 26. But as we read through Matthew chapter 25, 31 through 46, there's some things you should take notice of when you're reading through that, and one of which is that the righteous have already been separated as righteous. And before the king says anything to them, okay? And if you keep that in the back of your mind, and hopefully we'll see something here today as we go through this in another book of the Bible here. But the righteous have already been separated as righteous before the king says anything to them. And also the cursed is separated as such before he, that is the king of the righteous, that is. And if you'll notice, he's not the king of the wicked. He's not the king of those that are cursed. And he's never said to be that. But he is a king, and he's said to be king as he's dealing with the righteous. Okay, but the cursed are cursed before he says anything to them, and they're separated as such. Okay, and the righteous folks, the righteous, and I'm going to make this statement because I believe in my heart that that's what the Bible's teaching here. And the righteous did good to others, not to get something, not to get into the kingdom of heaven. They did good to others because they had some of the character in them of whom they believed on. And hopefully we'll see that here today and as we go through this. And it's shown here in the scriptures that they didn't even know what they did, if it was, you know, they didn't even know that. As Jesus is saying, here, let's read it. Verses 25. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon a throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, for I was a hungered. So he's going to give them some examples of what they were doing. They didn't even realize it. I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? And folks, this should teach us something here. And that is that, do you really believe that people are going to have all this time on their hands to learn all the Bible during the tribulation and know everything that God wants them to know? Think about it. Or is there just enough time to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Think about that. But they didn't even know. When? They're helping people. They don't even realize that they're God's children. Or that they're God's brethren. And Jesus' brethren. They don't even realize it. Okay? When saw we sick or in prison? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them, On the left hand. See, they're already separated. Before he even brings up anything that they did or didn't do. And so, that ought to teach us something, folks. And that is, we need to be mindful. Not everybody knows the scriptures. All right? And you're going to see Christian people that don't have any learning being just great to other people. And you're going to see people that you don't even think are Christian being good to other people. And I'm not saying that that's a determination whether or not they're saved or not. I'm just saying, here in this age, you don't know who's saved and who's not. Only God does. And the person that's saved. And we need to be really mindful of how we treat other people, especially God's children. And I'm saying this, we don't know who God's children are. You could be out on the street, that bum out on the street. We don't know that that gets not one of God's children. I'm just putting out there. Now, if a guy's out there drinking and smoking and he's saying, hey, can I have money? Can I have something? I don't usually give them to him because I just say, hey, why don't you just throw them away and use the money that somebody's going to give them. It's not to buy that, but to help, you know, eat. But they never want to do that. And they never want to come to Jesus. You know, they never want to hear about the Lord Jesus. They just want their money for their booze or their alcohol or their cigarettes. 9 times out of 10, that's what you find. But folks, there's people out there that just laying, they don't even ask. I like giving those people stuff. They don't even ask. They're just laying on a bench. They don't even know you gave them anything. You just walk by and throw something down on them. Huh? Think about it. You see a lot of them up north in Chicago. But here's a guy. I'm going to give you an example with a guy. He thought he was doing right, and yet he was doing wrong. Here, look at Paul. Before he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, he thought he was doing right by persecuting other Christians, folks. He thought he was. But he was actually persecuting Jesus himself. He was persecuting Jesus himself. And we find that in Acts 9. I mean, we all know the story here. We'll go ahead and read a little bit about it. Acts 9. 3-6, the Bible says, And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He's persecuting the church. He's persecuting those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, who thou persecutest. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord. Hey, he believed right there. But what happened to Paul? The persecutor became the persecuted. Isn't that something? What you do to other Christians is going to happen to you. What you do to the Lord or don't do to the Lord. And when you treat somebody else, especially a saved person, and you don't even know how many are saved or how many are lost, but you treat just some Joe Blow off the street meanly, it's something to think about, folks. Because if that's a child of God, you're in trouble. It's coming back on you. But the persecutor, he became the persecutor. Again, on the same note, we know about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16, and how the rich man didn't lift one finger. He didn't help that guy. He didn't lift one finger. Not one finger to help his neighbor who he came across day after day. Day after day. And Lazarus was sitting underneath this man's table looking for a crumb. Just a couple crumbs. And so were the dogs were sitting under there too. And the dogs didn't even get anything. They had to lick Lazarus' sores because they didn't get nothing from the rich man either. That guy kept every crumb. And for all we know, Lazarus died of starvation. For all we know. Because he was there looking for food and he didn't get any. And you know how hard of a death starvation is? Just, you know, do some research into some things that happened in Russia and in Germany. You'll see people starve to death. They get pretty thin. And it's an agonizing death. It's one of the worst deaths that you could ever die of. But when the rich man went to hell, guess what happened to him? Nobody would lift a finger to dip it in the water and cool his tongue. Nobody would do that. And why? What you do to one somebody of God's, it's going to happen to you, folks. And we're going to see that here as we go through the rest of this chapter here. But the natural man, folks, does only the things to help himself, especially during adverse situations when your life is on the line. And skin for skin, all that a man will give for his life, right? That's what Job says, or something to that. I'm not giving you an exact quote there, but it's something like that. But the natural, he could care less about his neighbor in need, even though he may be religious. And you see that in the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10. Why? Because he doesn't believe on Jesus. And therefore, Jesus' character is not transferred to the man. We get Jesus' character when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something that comes in us, folks. You can't tell me you put a God as big as God is into somebody that's trusted in him and nothing happened. Something is going to happen. And you're going to start having compassion on people that you normally didn't. On people that are not your blood relatives. But here during the tribulation, it looks like everybody in the whole world that is alive when Jesus comes back will have had an opportunity, folks. We'll have had an opportunity to help Jesus out by supplying some need to somebody, whether they be a little child, the least of these my brethren. Hey, you get a little child that doesn't know anything, that hasn't come to his consciousness yet in the tribulation, that's one of God's. That's one of God's. Think about that one. He never even knew to believe yet. And when that kid child dies, when that baby dies, it's going to heaven. Everybody will have opportunity to help Jesus out in the tribulation. Everybody will. And so, during the tribulation, somebody that is not a believer, they're not going to help, folks. They're not going to help any of those that believe on God. And those that are believers, they're going to help out everyone. Now think about it. If you're a believer in God, and the people that you come across, if you have something, even though you don't even know that they're a believer in God, if you got God's character in you, if you've trusted in Him, you're going to give those people something. You're going to give until you have no more material things to give. And then you know what you're going to give? You're going to give yourself to be a friend to those people. There's always something to give. They're visiting them in jail. All right? They're visiting those in prison. Why? Why are they doing these things? Because it's, folks, it's going to be in their nature. It's going to be in their nature. And why? Because they believed on the Lord Jesus. And that's whose nature they're going to have. And listen, think about it for a second. Don't you think God, during those adverse times, during those hard times we can't even imagine, that is, the world's never going to ever see again, and it's never seen before? Yes.
Promises we have for us is in 2 Corinthians, that I ate promise.
Yeah.
And then that's a conditioned promise. That's, you know, a conditional promise of page 28. That one is conditioned on us being cheerful giving.
Yeah.
That's interesting how that same character.
It's the same. Yeah. Yeah. And but think about it. Think about it. Don't you think that God will give grace to those who believe on Him to help those that they come across? He gave Paul grace. He gave Paul grace, and Paul gave God credit for that grace. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Sometimes we have to think, we have to use the scriptures, all of them, and kind of get outside the box a little bit. I hear that term a lot. Step outside the box, you know. But use the scriptures, right? Don't step outside the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15:10. We'll start in verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, but because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul is giving credit to God for everything, folks. And we need to do the same. And that tribulation, all the credit's going to go to God. It's not going to go to anything that they can do. God will get that credit. He will get the honor. He will get the glory. And an honest person here must say that the only way that somebody is going to, that somebody during that tribulation is going to help somebody in need out is by the grace of God. Because, folks, there's going to be little to be had and little to be given. Okay? And so, and the only ones that God gives grace to are those that humble themselves. And somebody in that tribulation is going to have to say, "Ooh, I made a big mistake here. I could have got out of all this if I would have only trusted in Jesus. But I was trusting in everything else. And you know what? I need to trust in Jesus now." And He'll get that grace, folks. That's humbling yourself. "I was wrong. I messed up. And so, but as we read these verses, these next few verses, folks, imagine if you would. Do you think there is any food in everlasting punishment? Do you think there's any water in everlasting punishment? How about any clothes in a burning everlasting punishment? Or do you think there's going to be some friends down there to come and visit people in everlasting punishment while locked up in this hell? And so what a person does, folks, by his own nature during the tribulation, by not helping Jesus with the temporal things of this life, will be done to him forever and ever and ever. And that's a horrible thought. That's a horrible thought. And so let's read these verses, and then we're going to end Matthew here. Matthew chapter 25, that is. The Bible says, Matthew 25, verse 41, "Then shall He say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord," there's that. Hey, have we not done all these mighty, wonderful works? Lord, calling upon them. So, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger or a thirst, or a stranger naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these. Now think of who the least of these is. Little baby. I'm thinking little baby, folks. That's what I think. That's the least. And did not the least of thee, ye did it not to me. Everyone will have opportunity to have helped Jesus in the tribulation. And everybody has that now, but everybody during that time is going to have that opportunity. And so we end Matthew 25. The righteous folks, which are sheep, inherit the kingdom, which is an everlasting kingdom. And in that kingdom, folks, the sheep have eternal life. But the cursed get an everlasting punishment. Now go with me, if you would, to John 10. And we're going to see something here, hopefully. John 10. And here we're going to try and put some circles in some circle slots. Okay? John 10. Verily, verily, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way. Think about who likes to climb? Goats do, don't they? They really like to climb. But climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. I mean, I'm thinking that's an antichrist, right? They'll flee from him. For they know not the voice of a stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. Think about this now. The Lord is separating the righteous, the sheep, from those that climb up another way. He's separating the sheep, folks. Okay? He's known of the sheep. The sheep have trusted in him. And the Lord knows the sheep before he ever brings up any of the things that they've done, which they don't know really what they're doing is to Jesus. They don't know the scriptures. Okay. As the Father knoweth me, even so I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Watch, folks, and other sheep have I. What did Jesus do in Matthew 25? He gathered all the nations. And what did he separate them? Sheep from goats. And what? How do they get it? How are those sheep known of Jesus? They know him. They've trusted in him, folks. He's the only way. He's the door. He's the good shepherd. Right there. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door. All that ever came before me, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You don't get in. No kingdom without Jesus. You don't come through Jesus. He's the door to that kingdom. You have to go in through him. And so we end Matthew 25. The pasture, that's found, that's the millennium and the eternity, folks. Verse 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. What do we just read in Matthew 25 at the end there? They shall have eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now think about it for a second. Do the people at the judgment of the nations get separated as righteous or cursed by what they did? Or do they get separated by righteous and cursed by who they know? Something for you guys to think about. The Bible's clear to me on this. And those that Jesus knows are sheep, folks. And they're known of Him, and He knows them. He knows them, and they know Him. And those that are goats, they get depart. They have to depart. They like to climb around. They like to climb everywhere, but go through the door. And goats are good climbers. Does anybody have any questions before we move on? Okay, chapter 26. Yeah. Yay! Everybody's like, I didn't want to go through that again. All right, chapter 26. Bible says, and it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. In the context here, verse 1, the context, these sayings are in reference to the disciples' questions back in Matthew 24:3, and which is a reference when Jesus answers to Daniel's 70th week and beyond. Okay? And beyond. And verse 2, go with me if you would to Numbers, Numbers 28. There's some interesting things here about this Passover here. Numbers chapter 28, verse 16. Here you're going to see the feasts and the Passover here. And in the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. And in the 15th day of the month is the feast. 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten. In the first day shall be an holy convocation. Ye shall do no manner of servant work therein. Okay? And so, this Passover it's also referenced as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's also referenced as a feast. And you'll find these, that two of the corresponding passages will line up to what I just said. Okay, one of which is found in Mark 14:1, and we'll go ahead and read that. Mark 14:1. You know, you go through and you study these things, and people got some pretty neat ideas out there, saying that the Feast of Unleavened Bread starts on the 14th day of the month. Okay, and that, you know, we just need to believe God and stuff like that. Okay, look in Mark 14:1. What does the Bible say? After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. Now, how is that possible? That's just a question I'm going to throw out. How is that possible? Go with me if you would. Luke 22. We just read in Numbers, right? Passover's on the 14th day. Feast of Unleavened Bread is on the 15th day. Luke 22:1. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. It's called the Passover. I don't understand that, folks. I'm going to give you the best I can. And to try to understand that, there's one other place in John that it's basically the same as Matthew. Okay, it doesn't say anything about the unleavened bread being the Passover. But it's called the Feast of the Passover here in Luke. The seven feasts are laid out in Leviticus 23. There's seven of them. And in Leviticus 23, you're going to find that the Passover, again, begins on the 14th day, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread begins on the 15th day. There's another place that references this Feast of the Passover and Unleavened Bread, and that's in Exodus. There's three places that it's referenced at, and that's in Numbers, Leviticus, and Exodus. Okay, Exodus 12, 1 through 16. We can go read them. Exodus 12. So we see that, I mean, the Bible's very clear in the Old Testament that the Passover is the 14th day, and 15th day is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. As you read down, verse 15, it starts the Feast of the Passover, or the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. It's very clear. They are to eat unleavened bread 7 days. Right? They're saying, the Jews are saying that, or the Luke and Mark are saying that it starts on Passover, which is the 14th day. When you'd say 14 to 21, how many days you have? Eight. But they're only commanded to eat unleavened bread for 7 days that I see. And so what it looks like is that a skeptic could really find some fault here if he really was looking. And the Lord's got it laid out that way. He's got it laid out that way. But that doesn't mean, folks, that there is one custom or tradition that the Jewish people may observe, right? They can observe a custom or tradition as long as it doesn't go against the scriptures, and as long as they don't hold that custom or tradition as the scriptures. We have traditions here. We sing what? We usually sing three songs in the morning. We, you know, pick somebody to pray. That's not scripture. I just do it because Felipe, that's what he did. It's real easy. I didn't have to change nothing. But God never told that Jew he couldn't call the Lord's Passover the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He never said that. He never said he couldn't call it that. That was the Lord's Passover. And he designated 7 days. He never said that they couldn't eat unleavened bread for 8 days. Right? They could come up with a custom, traditions. There's no sin in eating unleavened bread 8 days that I saw there. But they were commanded on the seventh for, well, yeah, go ahead, brother.
I don't want to interrupt you. It's just, I backed up a few verses in 12.
Oh, Exodus, where at? Yeah.
And now we're eating the Passover.
Right.
They shall eat the flesh that night, filled with fire and bread.
Oh, okay. Okay. There it is. Praise the Lord. We've got the answer solved. Or my question is solved. I'm thinking that, trying to give God the benefit of the doubt, saying, well, okay, but there it is. Okay. Great. So they are commanded for 8 days not to eat unleavened bread. Yes? Right. Okay, yeah. Okay, so the Passover that dead Jew is, he's getting ready to go through, he's getting ready to eat, it's a picture of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, man. I was looking for that answer. I couldn't find it. Praise the Lord. But when Jesus dies on the cross, folks, is there any sin in him? There's no sin in him. And so when the Jews, when they eat of that unleavened bread is a picture. of the Lord Jesus Christ's sinless life and the one who's going to die for them. That's what it is a picture of in the Old Testament. Jesus, folks, he is the unleavened bread. He's the bread of life, the Bible says in John 6:45. And if I have to take a guess, it's unleavened bread, folks. It's unleavened bread. Now, leaven in the Bible is said to be sin, and that's found in 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5. You got a man there in a church. And he's doing some bad things, okay? And Paul is telling them to purge out this leaven. There's sin in the church. And so here we see that leaven is a picture of sin in the Bible. But it's also a picture of false doctrine. And that's found in Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Verse 12, the Bible says, "Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." And so, this unleavened bread, folks, it not only pictures a sinless man, but it pictures a sinless man full of truth. He's full of truth. And not only does it picture a sinless man full of truth, but he has enough life. He has enough life that everybody could have some. All right, we'll go ahead and stop there. You see the picture of the Passover lamb? That's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross for all mankind. You see how that resembles that lamb sitting up there on that stake? How that resembles? Resemble a man there. That's what it resembles. What a wonderful thing that the Lord has done for us. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. We thank you for your truth, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for just having it there so we can. There's times we skip over things and we just don't see everything, and we're grateful, Lord, that you've written it down that we can go and search and check and verify, and we're grateful for those things, and we pray that we would just have minds to change on a dime, Lord. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.